You are listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. This show is called Good Morning Comrade. You can check us out online, WHIVFM.org/listen, goodmorningcomrade.com. Follow us on Twitter, Good Comrade Morning. What's going on? We got Scott, Jeff, and Robert on the show. What's going on, y'all?
The boys are back.
The boys are back. This is another no girl show.
Yeah.
It's
kind of embarrassing to say because like we only have one girl.
She's not even here. Either way, it's all good. Aaron needs some time, and she's got a lot of shit going on. So
that's true.
Anyway, what's been going on? Y'all still locked down? Y'all still? I mean, I know you're working, Robert. I'm working at home. What's going on, man?
Let's see. So, still working. Working the good job. Hardly, you know, working hard. Hardly working that whole bit. Trying to come out of this, what we just talked about, off air a little bit ago, trying to come out of this lockdown better than you know, I came in.
Powerful,
you know,
Robert.
Hard times make hard men. Trying to work on myself.
Some hard times, daddy.
Yeah,
seriously,
we don't watch ourselves. A computer we took our jobs.
Actually, I do want to, like, if we're gonna shout out stuff on the show,
son of a plumber.
There's a guy I do. He'd make like a great wrestler because we love wrestling. But it's like a guy who was like an ex-con, and he did like a lot of time in prison. And he's like a motivational speaker now. And what's so funny is that he says like the same kind of stuff that my like hippy dippy, like flower child of the earth. Like, she's a legit Buddhist. She said, like, my therapist says.
Oh, your therapist.
My therapist, like, will be like, has like the softest voice, and will say all this stuff about you need to. She'll be like, oh, you need to, you know, sit with yourself and get to know yourself and just be quiet with yourself.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
This guy will like, he says the same thing. He's like, you're never going to be comfortable anytime unless you're comfortable with yourself. You need to be. You know, he's like, I got through it because I was in the hole, and all the person I had was me. So I had to be comfortable inside my own mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
prison's
very
difficult.
This guy's onto something. Yeah. He's like onto like Buddha sitting under the tree, like trying to get enlightenment type thing. It's
crazy. Cool.
I was watching this thing where Boosie was like talking about being in jail, and he's like, man.
Lil Boosie?
Yeah, he's like, I didn't want to hang out with C Murder because he just read all the time. I was like, man, you're supposed to be like crazy like me.
Right.
Wait, what are you saying?
This dude's name, well, you'd be crazy like him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, this guy's name is Wes Watson. I'll give him a shout out because.
Hey, Wes. Like, shout out to Wes.
He gets me going on my like little run walks before I go to work and when I come home.
Cool.
Oh, is this like a podcast? Or?
Yeah, he's got like a whole Tony Robbins, that'll beat you up. Like vibe,
He doesn't have like the grift side of it, or does he?
I mean, no, he's got hustle. I wouldn't call it grift. It's the whole like I'm putting out YouTube videos. You. Yeah,
are these videos like in cars? Like where they take place?
No, they're usually like in his apartment where he just screams. And like the most thing he says is like he'll be like, yeah, you know what? I got people contacting me, you know, and they're just like. He's like, my son is 17. And he won't listen to me. He's like, I wouldn't listen to you either.
Yeah.
He's like, because you're not somebody I want to look up to. How you gonna ask him to look? How you gonna ask another man to look up to you? And you ain't shit. What's going on?
That's a good question.
I mean, like, I feel like I've known a lot of these like call-in advice people. I feel like we listened to a lot of these people growing up. Me and Jeff were very much of the talk radio generation.
Oh yeah.
Who'd you listen to, girl? Oh, I listen to all the talk radio.
I forget who listened to.
I listened
to
a lot of sports talk radio.
Like,
I remember, I'm talking about when we were kids, like, there was a lot of Dr. Laura.
Oh my god, yeah. Like, Dad would always have that on.
She's the absolute worst. Did you ever listen to a guy? Did you get a guy? He was big in the Tampa market. His name was Phil Hendry.
It was a comedy guy.
No. But the thing was, his kind of catchphrase, I can't remember the tagline of the show. It was just like, Phil Hendry, either you're in or you're out.
What did
or
that
either mean? You know or do or you know or you don't or something like that.
Man, because it's just a straight up dichotomy.
Well, what it was, you should definitely like check this out. What it was, he would have controversial guests on the show.
Oh, no.
Like he would have like, oh yeah, he's like, my name is I'm out here in San Alto, California, and I just want to say my name's Joe Jackson, and I'm a pedophile. I just love kids. And I just got hired as a janitor in this school, and I just can't wait to start work.
What the heck is this?
Wait. And so he would take calls where people call in. It's like, oh, if you want to ask questions to a sex offender, he's like, call on in. Here's the catch, though.
He's not humanizing him. He's exoticizing him, no. Right? No.
Here's the catch. That's probably a bad. I just made up something in my mind. He actually had characters who would. He had one guy. He had one character.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Yes, yeah, he had bad. One guy who would. He had one guy who would call him was a kid, and he kept talking about how like you shouldn't disrespect him because he's going to Naval Academy in Alaska and is going to be a famous soldier. So everybody else should be. This was like during like the Iraq War. He's like, the Iraq War is great. He's like, it's awesome. We should kick all the butt. But here's the catch. Here's the thing. He never had any guests. It was always him.
He did voices?
He would have conversations with himself and trigger people, and they would call in and get mad.
What an insane person, by the way.
So
you know,
good.
When you do voices, as somebody who grew up in like with Walton and Johnson on the radio all the dang time, like, I've just determined that people who do voices, always psychos. Every single
but
time.
But this guy, like, no, Walton and Johnson are just local...
Local racists.
Local racists. This guy was... This art.
Didn't they go to, like, Harvard or something? That was, like, their big thing. They were like, I went to the Hollywood Hall.
Who?
Oh, man.
Walton Johnson.
Oh, geez. I don't know.
Like, they're supposed to be, like, well-bred racists or some stupid shit.
Yes. They have a racist with a certificate.
Oh man, Street Fight needs to do a takedown of those.
I don't think they're big enough.
They're not on their radar. That's our job.
Wait, I thought Walton Johnson was like everywhere.
They were in like Houston and here.
Regional? Yeah, jeez. They're not big in any other markets. This guy's characters too were so subtle though. I'm talking about Phil Hendry.
Yeah,
like he had one I really liked. I can't think of the character's name, but the bit was that he would say the guy, he would have movie reviews.
No boy.
And the guy was like, he was supposed to be like a movie reviewer and a journalist who would call in and be like, oh, the whatever movie that everybody likes, he would say, oh, this new movie came out, it's terrible. And he would always give like the worst reason. Mm-hmm. And he would say like something like, well, you don't understand, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Oh.
And then Phil would go, well, and then finally he would keep saying it over and over again. And Phil would be like, what does that have to do with anything? He's like, what are you saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you keep saying that. He's like, well, you just can't. Understand. And he would just trigger so many people by like.
By doing the thing. He's doing art. The thing.
It's absolute art.
Uh-huh.
It's the best way. He had like two characters who were a husband and wife who were both him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on like a homeowners association. And they would talk. They would just rant about all their terrible neighbors doing stuff like, oh, they have. They leave their trash cans out and it's terrible. So we're just going to fine them and we're going to sue them and throw them out of their home because they keep leaving their trash cans out. We're going to leave them homeless and we don't care. And be like, callers, how do you feel about that? Call in, blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
People would call and they'd be so mad. It's just hard.
Wow.
But what else did y'all listen to? I listened to like him. I was into local guys in the Tampa area called Ron and Ron. They got pretty big.
Ron and Don?
Ron Diaz and Ron Bennington. They're on like serious. Oh, he's
Ron Bennington's a comedian guy too, right?
Yeah, and Fez Watley. Like they're all big wrestling guys too.
I remember there were a bunch of shock jocks that I listened to, and they were like this guy called Rod Ryan. And oh, he was kind of like America's Going Soft. Like, that was a big
dodgeball, like, folks.
Yeah, he started a dodgeball league with like some school when dodgeball.
Yeah.
That was his big rallying cry.
He was dead serious, huh?
Yeah, then he like moved out to Texas.
He's a grifter, just like all of them.
Oh, yeah.
I used to listen to Glenn Beck back in the day.
Not because
I used to like listen to Glenn Beck. Like, it was just awesome. Sure, it was the same reason. We're getting into like Street Fight's done a whole thing with this, but it's like same reason why they did.
Glenn Beck is a shock jock. Glenn Beck is absolutely a shock jock. Yeah. Like, that's his entire thing.
Like, I feel like he was kind of in that like Michael Savage, like Rush Limbaugh kind of like block.
Dude, yeah. Michael Savage is just so much better.
His voice. Who told him that he had a voice for radio?
Who?
Beck? Michael Savage?
Oh. He just screams.
Whoever said, like, I didn't want to listen to that for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never understood. I can't even hate listen to that. Like, I hate listening to Limbaugh, like, sometimes. But I can't even hate listening to Michael Savage. It's so annoying.
Yeah. When I worked in AV, they had a weird, like, marble shop across the street from us. And I could always hear them listen to Rush Limbaugh so loud, and it just made my blood boil. Like,
damn, Rush Limbaugh's good, you got though. Triggered. It's you got triggered. He knows what he's
it's
doing.
It's good to hate listen to because it's so dumb. And then he gets the like his screeners are really bad, so he'll get like the occasional troll.
He does exactly what he wants to do. Like, yeah. That's exactly what he wants. He wants there to be trolls so he can say, well, look at all the liberal haters coming at me. You know, that kind of thing.
I guess. Nah, right. I don't. I think you're wrong because he gets trolled up. Like, when he stammers and stutters, mm-hmm. they get him good. Have you listened? Like, you know who used to do a lot of that was, or at least play him a lot, was like Sam Cedar.
Yeah. He used to do
those cranks get through
thing.
On him. He don't know what to do. He's like, of course, let's see, what else? I used to listen to all the bad ones. Tom Likas.
Oh, man.
And there was a time when I used to like
listen. I did not even know about Tom Likas.
I used to listen to Tom Likas. I used to be like, oh, yeah. DTV. What's his thing?
What's his thing?
Are you taking his dating advice?
Somewhat. Some of the, to be honest, like some of his stuff. Go ahead. Explain to Tom
Likas. What's his thing? I don't know Tom Likas.
Super misogynist, dude.
That's
like,
it?
Like a super, yeah, just like super, like fat, troll, like misogynist guy.
Yeah.
And he would talk about how rich he is. I don't understand how he has. Like,
well, I think he did like a little bit of that marketing stuff and like kind of becoming like, you know, getting his show like, what do you call it? Where you do it in a bunch of markets.
Right.
I think he had a bunch of that
syndication.
Stuff. Yeah. He was syndicated. Like him, like he had like kind of an Opie and Anthony thing.
That's when you know you made it though. Like, if you can just get over that hump when you're doing the radio or whatever, like if you get over the syndicated hump, then you're done. You made it.
I was talking to the guy who comes in before us with the time slot before us. And
yeah, Don P. Shout out to Don P. The good guy.
Don P, man. I had a show with him. He saved my bacon when I had to like make a show on the fly one of the two times.
Mm-hmm.
A little peek behind the curtain. I'm pretty bad at tech stuff, and I couldn't play our recorded show.
Anyway, Don P saved you.
Yeah, he saved me. And then we talked about like voting stuff, and we talked about the fact that he's the only like locally recorded like rap morning show. Which back in my day, like they used to have like two or three of those.
Yeah, Q93 doesn't have a local show anymore.
No, they just play Steve Harvey, who's the worst.
Oh, geez.
He's so bad. It's so corny. I'd rather listen to like Breakfast Club than that. Listen to What's His Face Crying. Not Charlamagne, the other guy.
They're both Envy.
Nah, Charlamagne's fine. Envy's a crybaby, dude. I had to turn it off. I used to listen to that. I had to turn it off because of him.
No.
I couldn't take him.
Charlamagne's the worst.
Ah, nah. Charlamagne's funny, at least. He reminds me of like a hip hop Jim Rome. I don't know.
Oh. Jim Rome. There's one.
Clones.
I still like Jim Rome.
Yeah,
he's so stupid. I used to listen to Jim Rome every day.
Jeff used to listen to it because I listened to it because like he had a car and I was
every day I listen.
It's when you can like catch him on a rant, like when he gets on a go on a tear and he'll just like.
Yeah,
he's the one guy he's the only radio guy I've ever listened to where like awkward pauses like somehow really work.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
He can have like a good 3 minutes of dead air, and it makes like the next thing funnier. Yeah.
It's just a bunch of like dramatic pauses. Speaking of dramatic pauses, let's pause the station ID. You were listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. Good morning, comrade.
My bad. Yeah, you got to edit out my profanity then. My bad.
Got clips.
I listened to the episode on Street Fight about Jim Rome, and it's just about they basically came to the conclusion that like he hates his audience more than anybody, and they love it. Like they just love when
he's a dom and they're the subs. Got it.
Like they're trying to say the cool thing to the cool guy and like get their little props. But if like if there's ever like a hair out of line or something, he just sees he's gonna dress you down. Like
he's just gonna play the LT Slide Electric Slide song. Yeah. Don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Anyway. So
what? Go ahead.
I was just gonna change the subject. That's fine. But
from our 20-minute intro,
God, I love it. I really like my last thing about Jim Rome, and then change the subject. Why he's had like multiple like studio shows? What I mean is like with
TV shows,
the Rome TV shows, and they suck. They've always sucked.
Yeah, because it's not unfiltered. Something about
I don't
it's
think very... he gets to riff. I think that's the problem.
So that one of the reasons that like radio like weirdness doesn't translate to those kind of like 30-minute TV shows or whatever is because they have to have these sort of like hard structured segments, and they don't have these sort of like long periods where you can just sort of like figure out what's going on. And I don't know, there's a huge difference in what you can do in each of those situations, you know what I mean?
What are our girls, the right chicks, doing?
Nah, man, you're the one that brought them up to me.
I know. I need to like. I just now that I have time, like maybe
didn't they break up?
Are you serious? I'm gonna check it out. But like, I need to like start playing a video game and listening, and then clipping their show.
Somebody told me they broke up.
No way.
So we won the
love isn't real.
We're in the war.
Something's just never less. It was too good to be true.
No. Keep going. Change the subject. Well, I guess
let's talk about
it right now.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about Joe Biden, though, and like what's going on with this Tara Reid business. My big question is like, if Joe Biden can't do it, then who can? You know, at this point, like, what's going to happen if like Joe Biden gets full? Who's not necessarily the nominee yet? And I'm not even like saying like, well, just give it to Bernie Sanders or whatever. But like, what would be the outcome if Joe Biden just sort of gets completely marginalized in this whole thing, which is likely to happen? I mean, if this is going to be really, really ramped up, especially after the nomination happens, right? And it's the most obvious thing in the world.
Joe Biden's not going anywhere, man.
I'm talking about even if that's the case, when the nomination happens, which is coming soon, he's going to get absolutely destroyed. And everybody can see it coming, right? Like, he's going to get smoked.
Yeah. Well, no, that's the problem. Everybody either can't see it coming or they're pretending that it's not going to happen. They're just like living in their own weird version of 1984 where it's just like all bad thoughts get stamped down.
Right.
I literally had this not conversation, but I have a friend who was the Louisiana, acquaintance, who was the Louisiana Bernie Sanders whip. And he's one of those guys that just did it. Now he works for the Louisiana Democratic Party. He just did it to just try to get into Louisiana politics.
Yeah.
Obviously has no
grifter. That's fine.
He's a grifter. But on his Facebook, they're talking about, well, if Joe Biden picks XYZ for VP,
that's so not
how's
important
that going
right
to affect this? And like, well, he should pick Elizabeth Warren because
bruh,
that's
hold up, hold
what
up.
What about Kamala Harris?
Elizabeth Say Warren, what does Elizabeth Warren bring to the table?
But that's not even the point. Like they're talking about like the pros and cons and all these VP picks, these potential VP picks. And I said, I just commented on his face. I said, y'all are rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
What if you pick Tara Reid as the vice president?
What are y'all even talking about?
What if you pick Tara Reid as vice president? That would be a good way to make it all better.
No.
You don't think it'd work?
No. But and how dumb, that's the thing. Okay, so I was going to say how dumb do these people feel now that there's even more credible evidence come out that this has happened, that this actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
How dumb do these people feel? But I answer my own question. They don't feel dumb at all. They're just, that's where we're at now. We're in such like a post-truth world where like nothing really matters. You can spin any kind of, the facts don't matter. Objective reality doesn't matter. You can just spin anything into whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, that's, you want to talk about what Donald Trump has done to destroy this country? Like, I think that Donald Trump shifting us to a place where words don't matter, actions don't matter, history doesn't matter, mm-hmm. reality doesn't matter. My rapist is better than your rapist. That's he's
the race to the
popped
bottom.
A genie out of the bottle that can never be put back in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I'm like super depressed.
I guess the point here becomes, there's this sort of like escalation, and it doesn't really matter where it started, but we know who has the sort of initiative, and it's the right wing, right? And the Democrats keep coming back with this sort of weaker version of trying to do it, and it just is never the same. But it basically validates whatever like bullshit stuff the Republicans are doing, right? It basically allows. So when you basically have Donald Trump, who was, you know, among many of his many, many flaws, I mean, let's be clear here, but one of them was that he was vulnerable, particularly on the fact that he did do sexual assaults. Now, if you make a campaign about that, you can't really do that, but if it's on the table. And when you put somebody who is in a similar situation, even if it's not equal, in the case of Joe Biden, then you've sort of taken that potential advantage in terms of how you can get a victory off. You've basically taken that away from yourself.
You've just seeded the high ground.
Yeah, you've seeded that ground. And so, now, that might not even matter, right? I mean, it might not matter
wins or lot, like, oh, the country might fall apart, coronavirus might kill everybody.
In terms of trajectory, it matters. In terms of where we're going, it matters.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm going to say. There's nothing good here that can come out of a Joe Biden. A Joe Biden victory is a pirate victory. It's going to taste like ash no matter what, like, because the Pandora's box that has been opened now,
mm-hmm.
to of what we will accept as far as politicians in this country, I don't think we can't go back from that. I don't know what to do about that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there is a difference, for example, like if like Donald Trump wins and if like Biden wins, I mean, I think that's, maybe we don't agree on that, but I feel very comfortable in saying that for myself. The thing becomes like, the fact that we're even in the position where this is sort of the space that we're contending with. And it was not like, if you ask sort of like John Q centrists or whatever, they would say, well, the people have spoken, and that's where things kind of came down. And that's why we're in the position it is, because this is what the Democratic will is of the people who voted in the Democratic primary, right? Now, let's not even talk about how there was unprecedented sort of like consolidation, and Pete Buttigieg, for example, dropped out and endorsed Joe Biden when he was either leading Joe Biden or very, very close with Joe Biden in the primary, right? Now, you could say that like Bernie Sanders or, you know, other campaigns or whatever could have seen that coming, but that was able to sort of create a narrative after the South Carolina primary, and it just was the end. That was the end.
They moved very hard.
Before you jump in. This was a conscious decision that was made by some people within the Democratic Party that said, we need to do anything we can to prevent like an actual change type candidate to come in and win. that's sort of like where I'm coming from seeing this.
That's fine. I'm actually moved on past that. Like, I was never that upset about that because that's the game. And that brings me to my, like, Bernie Sanders rant. Like, that's the game. And if Bernie wasn't prepared, if Bernie didn't know what the score was or just refused to understand that he was seen as an existential threat to these people while he's calling them his friend, then there's then like he deserved what he got.
Yeah, I guess so. But I guess the point becomes if you can understand that and still not know what to do about it, right?
I mean, you could do something. They could have moved in some manner.
But what?
They chose not to at all. Okay, I'll tell you, let's go right into it right now. I was talking to Aaron today. Here's what I said. It seems like the universe is aligning to, because it wants Bernie Sanders to be president of the United States. Mm-hmm. But he won't take advantage. Mm-hmm. He won't pull the trigger on anything. I mean, if I was Bernie Sanders right now, my thing would be, oh, okay, credible rape allegation against your nominee. He's got to drop out. I never dropped out. He's like, I've got the most votes. I should now be the nominee by default. That's how it's going to be.
What if
it's like, or are we going to go with a rapist against a rapist? What are we going to do? But he's never going to do anything like that. Just like the same way he should have.
Okay.
He should have been like, these people are not my friends. This is an actual revolution.
Uh-huh.
This is what we're trying to pull off. Crystal Ball had a great thing the other day. He goes, look, he goes, she said leftists keep losing because they're afraid to be hated. And I'm like, that's exactly right.
What?
Look at these. And she, and I said, she brought up the example of, look at these morons in the street with their, these morons in the street talking about reopen Applebee's right now. And, you know, we're sitting here saying, oh, look how dumb they are. They're so dumb. But guess what's happened? States are reopening because they're not afraid to go out there and get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Where the left thinks that we think that it's just going to fall because we're the good guys and the Death Star is just going to blow itself up.
Well,
it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you mean by the left, I suppose. But I don't want to like hash that out particularly right now. But in terms of like what you were getting to earlier, the sort of Bernie Sanders should have done something. Like you said specifically that he could have like said that the centrists are not our friend and whatever.
When you say
what
things
if
like,
no, I know what ahead. You mean by that.
It's
I know
just
what you
his
mean by
language.
That.
I'm not saying like you actually lead an armed revolution in the streets or something. Yeah, his language defeats himself. His
right.
His language gives away all leverage. You cannot say that Donald Trump. I'm running for president because Donald Trump is an existential threat to America. Oh, and by the way, Joe Biden could beat him too.
Right.
What? Well, oh, by the way, I'll support the Democratic nominee.
I guess my point becomes, if you do that, if you do what you're suggesting, are you sure that it will work? One.
Nothing certain.
And two, you have to make a calculation, is that if you do what you're suggesting, will it cause more damage than the, you know, the probability of the upside, you know, that is the actual calculation that you have to make. Now, I'm not saying
what
that necessarily, I'm not
what
even necessarily, so essentially
like,
the
game that out. What's
so
the
worst case scenario at this point for me is if Donald Trump does get reelected. Now, whether or not, you know, so here's the thing, and it's complicated, right? And I'm not advocating, I'm not going to like browbeat anybody and say, you have to go vote for Joe Biden, or you don't care about X, Y, or Z. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But my point is, I suppose, and I'm not even necessarily suggesting what, because as far as I'm concerned, the election's over, right? I mean, I'm not going to go knocking on doors for anybody. No. I'm not going to give any money to anybody unless it's like, no, unless something dramatically changes between now and November. I guess my point here is, if you're playing the game where you need to sort of like want to, the most expected thing, had Bernie Sanders not even been in the primary, the most expected thing that would have happened would have been like one of these dork boys would have won, like you know, Biden or one of the centrists. if you can essentially make it so that that situation is worse no matter what you do, and the worst, I mean, I'm sorry, is better no matter what you do, and the worst case scenario, which is Donald Trump gets reelected, which is, at least if you don't agree with that, Bernie Sanders has said that that's what his worst case scenario is. Wouldn't you do anything you can to prevent that worst case scenario? So if he would have blown up Joe Biden and that wouldn't have worked and he would have still lost, well, then guess everybody loses, don't they?
Why? I don't understand. So, okay, so he blows up Joe Biden. I maybe I'm lost here.
Mm-hmm.
He blows up Joe Biden, wins the nomination, and then loses to Trump.
No, no, no. But again, that's assuming that, that blowing up Joe Biden would have beaten Joe Biden.
Okay.
Would it have?
Well, I mean, what are you left with? Like, what's the... That's what I'm saying.
So, I mean, what if you blow up Joe Biden and Joe Biden still wins? That's a scenario that's a little scary, doesn't it? Because no. then, you know?
No.
Why?
No, it's not. Okay, you blow up Joe Biden and Joe Biden still wins. Like, you're still at the same place you are now. Like, that's what I'm not getting. The scary, you know what the scariest scenario is for me? And I'm gonna take my own advice. I'm gonna go out and step on a limb and be hated. Here's the scariest scenario for
I'm not gonna hate you, Robert. I'm not gonna hate you.
The scariest scenario for long term is Joe Biden winning.
Really?
Winning the presidential nomination. Yes.
Worse than Trump winning.
Absolutely.
Why?
Because if he wins the presidential nomination, I mean, if he wins the presidency, then all leftist energy is dead.
Like, is it?
There's no. Yes. Why would I listen to you? Okay, so I'm the Democratic Party, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that we need fundamental change. We need the Green New Deal. The Earth's going to blow up, going to cook itself. We need Medicare for all. We need everything, all the planks of the progressive left.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, we just won the presidency without you. I don't need you for anything. What do I need to listen to you for?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to tell me that, oh, you know, people did the same thing in 16 and they got and they still back Joe Biden because they don't. You're making an argument as they don't care about winning, which I completely believe that Democratic Party has no intention of winning the presidency. They don't really. It's just a secondary fun fact to them if it happens. But there's no leverage there. If they can, we're showing that they can do it without us, then there's no reason for them to engage us in politics at all. What I think we should do, honestly, I'm not saying that, oh, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. I'm not saying I'm not going to.
You don't even have to share that. It's not important.
What I'm saying is, I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to vote for any corporatist Democrat in city or local or state elections. I'm not telling you any of that. My position is personally for me, I am now permanently undecided because you know what? People who are on the left, we care about things. We're always so we care about things. We care about the environment. We care about people's material living conditions. We care about all these things and we're the good guys. So they know, the Democratic Party knows at the end of the day that, oh, these people are at least going to support the lesser of two evils. The people who get courted after in this country, the people who get set down and talked to in focus groups.
The ones that exercise leverage.
Who sit there and they go, not even exercise leverage. Those people, yes, they do get. But the people who go, you know what? I just woke up yesterday. I was in a coma for 20 years. I don't know what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
You get these idiots on CNN and some kind of weird focus group who's just like mom from Michigan. And she's just like, well, I was thinking about, I really like Joe Biden, but I was also really like Donald Trump. I just don't know what I should do. And those are the people who are like, quote unquote, undecided, get all this attention. It's those are the people who the Democratic Party like courts and goes after every 4 and 2 years. So I'm saying I'm just one of those people now. I don't hate you. I just don't have time for you anymore.
That's fair.
So if you want my vote, come and get it like you do all those idiots. I don't need to tell you that I actually care about things and I'm actually informed about the issues. It seems like it's better for me not to be informed about the issues.
You're listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. The show is Good Morning Comrade. On that point, Is that a issue of them aiming for, because the way that I think about Democrats specifically is that they're going to reach out to the same people, whether or not there's actual carry in it, if that makes any sense. They're going to reach out to the people that are in this sort of like proposed center or these supposed undecideds, because that's where their interests already lie. Not because of the fact that they're undecided, right?
I think we're saying the same thing. And that's, I think we're saying the same thing, because I'm saying that they're reaching out to those people because they know you, they already have you in the bag.
No. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is that they're reaching out to, they're reaching out to, not necessarily, I understand what you're saying about saying that they think that they have like the left in the bag or whatever. And I'm not, there's, again, I'm not like throwing any support behind like anybody. Like, that's not the point here, right? The point here is, because I know that there's a lot of left that's going to peel off and they're not going to vote for Joe Biden, and that's whatever, that's going to happen. My point here is that the Democratic Party appeals to these, like, you know, Panera Bread voters, these, you know, middle class suburban voters, not because they think it's a reliable voting block, because it's proven time and again that even if it is reliable, like whether or not they pander to them, it doesn't matter, right? They do it because that's the kind of people that they want to compose the engine of their movement, because they're not going to get told, well, what the hell are you doing in Washington by those folks? They're happy at home. And they don't have any kind of anything worries at home. And the one thing that Democrats don't want to do is be pushed and be beholden to anything that's actually offering anything to them.
I mean, I see where you're coming from.
It's compliance is essentially what they want, and that's where they're putting their chips in.
So why am I going to give them that?
To avert disaster, but I mean,
that's it's always going to be that, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, well, I mean,
it's always going to. Where does it stop? Where does it stop?
So not at elections. It's a thing for me. I mean, the elections seems to be the thing that we can't. I mean, not at presidential elections, I suppose. Presidential elections come once every 4 years, and there is a lot of. I mean, we saw it this time, right? A lot of BS that surrounds it to make it really impossible. And I'm not even saying not to engage with them. But if we put all of our chips into that situation all of the time, we are always going to lose. But we need to be building up with our, you know, organizational allies, building broad coalitions, DSA, labor unions.
We're talking about two different things here, and I totally want to let you like go into that for sure. Go into that. But you're not going to convince me to participate in harm reduction when the people are supposed to be reducing harm refuse to reduce harm.
Right. No. I know what you're saying.
I'm just a dumb idiot who has one vote. It's like I can't.
Yeah, no, I don't not 100%.
My hands on the levers of power. So I can't actively do harm reduction with my one vote, especially to people who aren't reducing harm.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm not suggesting that Democrats do harm, but they might do less harm, I suppose.
I'm not going to like live. Yeah, I'm not going to like have my wish fulfillment of what I want a political party to be, and then like put that into the Democratic Party, because we're talking about like reality and like looking at things that actually are. The Democratic Party is not that. They're not that. They're not fighting for people.
No, so, trust me, I did not at any point suggest that they did, because they don't. I mean, the way that they've been doing things, they've been going out of their way to make it seem like they're not fighting for people. I mean, to point to a critical point in the last round of, what do they call it, like tranches of the recovery or whatever. They keep calling it different, like weird words, but like phase three or phase four, whichever one it was. They essentially got the Democrats specifically got nothing, right? They got zero, but they're claiming that critical funding to hospitals that needed to get passed no matter what was a victory and a concession by the Republicans or something like that. And it's one of these sort of situations where it's like, you know that they wanted that anyway, don't you? I mean, I am with you on that. I just don't know. I don't know how, like, I don't know. Like I said earlier, the election functionally, other than, like, you know, rolling out of bed on this, the May, I mean, June, I mean, November, whatever, or mailing in, hopefully, God willing, inshallah, like voting for somebody, right? That's sort of like the thing. My energy is not going there towards election stuff.
We have a comment coming in from the web from Aaron. She says, please make the point that sexual assault survivors are being asked to participate in harm reduction by voting for someone who was raped less.
I am not suggesting, I am not telling anybody to do anything. I am not telling anybody that they have to do anything. I'm just saying that in my calculation, it is still, with all that bullshit in front of us, like, a marked difference between one and the other. Like two things are just absolute dog like crap. And we are in a, like, we've already lost is my point here, I suppose.
No, I totally agree. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, we've already lost.
Already took the L.
The only, do you see what I'm saying though? The only thing, yes, I say is, like,
yes, I do.
It's not like, I'm not trying to advocate of, like, a moral victory. I'm really not trying to be like, oh, we're going to rub it in your face. It's like, it's having, like, a sane conversation with voters in the Democratic Party who are just like, look, we told you this was going to happen in 2016. You didn't hear us.
Mm-hmm.
If Biden loses, we're like, look, we told you this was going to happen in 2020. If you really don't like Trump and what's going to follow after him, then you need to listen to us. Mm-hmm. We can't even talk to the leaders. We can't even talk to politicians about this because, I mean, they're accepting campaign donations and funding from the same people as Republicans. But the individual voters, like the people in my social circles who are like, who are Warren people or just centrist Democrats,
mm-hmm,
it's to have a conversation with them and be like, look, the pathway of moving forward is going to be through the left, not through centrism. Mm-hmm. And if Joe Biden wins, then we get super Trump in 4 years and nothing changes.
Tom Cotton, probably.
Yeah, we get an actual, like, not a dumb fascist, but just a straight up fascist. Mm-hmm. So Biden is worse. I'm sorry. Like, your people say, goddamn. I mean, if as much, I had to stop listening to Sam Cedar for a while, but I know if he heard this, like, his head would explode. But yes, Trump is worse. I mean, Biden is worse. Biden is worse in a long term than Trump is. Sorry.
I don't agree necessarily. I think that, like, both, like, it's like a double doom pick, like, sort of situation. Or, you know, I mean, if you want to, like, go vote for Jill Stein or whatever, I mean, go.
If she's running?
Probably, I don't know. Or if you want to vote for Jesse Ventura, if you want to vote for Jesse Ventura, that's what we could talk about. We could talk about Jesse,
running.
Huh? He's
not running.
He's not. I thought that he was running.
No, he's like a citizen of Mexico now, right?
That would be cool. That would make it even better if he ran.
Yeah, it sounds weird. I don't want to be in that election. I don't want to be.
I had seen that Jesse Ventura was running, and that's, I mean, it's at least a yuck for me. And again, he's not.
I'd buy a Jesse Ventura for president.
I would buy a boa for Jesse Ventura for president, to be completely clear.
One of those, like, scully hats, like painter's hats, so you don't get it in your hair.
Yeah. But I'm fairly certain that he's running. Jesse Ventura, running for president.
Hey, prove me wrong.
He's gonna do it, folks. Folks, he's running. Folks, he's running.
Buddy. And,
I keep hearing this weird thing too. That's
Jesse Ventura.
Like this weird hope and a prayer that's like circulating that, oh, things are going to get so bad because of the coronavirus, like, and because of the economy, that, you know,
Trump will lose because of that or something.
Trump will lose because people
it might
turn
happen,
on him.
I guess. And I'm like, I don't know.
No, like we've shown time and time again that his supporters will hurt themselves to own the libs. When it comes down to it, like they will vote against their own best interests. That's how Trump got there. So like you're expecting them to like all of a sudden think tactically now, like what's going to interest them the best? Like,
No. I'm not. I'd never made that.
Jarring subject change. We were talking about Chris Kyle disagreeer.
My bad.
Jesse Ventura.
I just had to hit the bathroom. But yeah, Jesse Ventura is running. I guess.
Folks, he's running. He actually just retweeted former guest of the show, Jen Briney.
Wild.
That's cool, man.
Congress created three laws to respond to COVID-19. And in this episode, learn everything about the first two and the provisions from number three. Like, so that's pretty cool.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff, what if you asked him to come on the show?
Dude, Jesse Ventura, come on the show. Jesse Ventura, come on, Good Morning Comrade. Yeah. We will give you a platform.
Invite. The Jesse Ventura, the door is open. Come on, GMC.
Are we sure that he's... I'm going to open a can of worms here on the other side.
Are we sure he's bad?
No. You are listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. This is Good Morning Comrade. Are we sure he's not a Russian bot?
That new Predator video game came out.
Yeah,
we could discuss Predator with him.
I'll definitely
talk about that with him.
That could be like the fun opener.
I want to talk to him... I want to talk to Jesse. What would we talk about Jesse Ventura? That's how we could bring it home.
Here's a question of decorum.
Uh-huh.
Is it rude to talk about Predator before his presidential bid?
No. Why would it be?
You got to open with the presidential bid.
No, you don't. You got to get to it. Yeah. The hook is Predator.
I'm not trying to like burn any bridges here.
The things that I would want to know from Jesse Ventura all circulate around the course of events that happened when he tried to start a union in the WWE. Yeah. That is what I want to know. And
so
I also want to know,
has he ever talked about
what
it?
Exactly like Hulk Hogan did and how much of a snake Hulk Hogan was during that time.
I think honest to God, I think like we could get him on the show if we run that random.
That'd be perfect. Like,
who's his people? We need to get a hold of his people.
He's on RT. He's got a show on RT. So he's probably like, he can make us a Russian bot. We could become number one enemy of resistance Twitter.
Can I not be a Russian bot? I feel like I'd do the least good in Russia.
I've never been to Russia.
I mean, I did tweet out the other day where somebody called me a Russian bot because of Tara Reid. And I was like, why not lean into it?
I mean, like if they're going to call you a Russian bot anyway,
I said, if I'm a Russian agent because I'm against rape, then I guess I'm Zangief.
Cool. They both start with R's. Both of those words start with R.
What was Zangief's like position? Was he just like a labor leader? And he was just
no,
so tough?
No, he was just a Soviet strongman.
Yeah, big guy. Big guy who wrestled.
Now he trains what's her face in pro wrestling. He's a pro wrestler and he trains oh my gosh, I can't think of her name. She wears the little costume. She's from Street Fighter. She was in Third Strike. Not Third Strike. No, God. I seem like a. Now I'm like a real nerd now because I don't.
Yeah,
she was in Alpha.
Sakura?
No, she's the pro wrestler. She's in.
Man,
five.
I don't know. I don't know any of this stuff. You lose.
Let's take one step back. Who wins in a fight?
Armika. Rainbow Mika. Sorry.
Zangief or Mike Hager?
Oh, Zangief. Yeah. They're both pro wrestlers, though. I don't know.
Book it.
Ooh, I think Zangief.
Back to Jesse Ventura, please. To the real story.
You can't talk about. You got to talk about presidents.
Which
right?
character would Jesse Ventura be better at playing, Zangief or Mike Hagar?
I don't know, man. I've never seen him wrestle, but I feel like he's a friend of Mike Hagar. Like he gets his play. He's like,
Okay. Well, Mike Hagar was a mayor and Jesse was a governor, so they get it. They get one another.
Yeah, I'm sure he like has a lot more in common with him than he does with a Soviet strongman. Did he ever tag with Nikolai Volkov? What do we know?
Nah, he was a loner until he started hanging out with when he started training Rainbow Mika. Mm-hmm. And they learned Ultimate Muscle Spirit.
No, I'm talking about Jesse Ventura.
Again. I mean, I was talking about Zangief. I'm sorry. Yeah.
He hung out with Gorilla Monsoon a lot. I mean,
I would like to know about his labor exploits, though.
Yeah, that is the most important thing that we could get from a. So, it's, in a weird way, Jesse Ventura is the labor candidate.
Oh man.
I think Jesse ended up getting a SAG card because of all the movies he started doing. So that was his thing.
That's why they like have those WWE movies.
No. I mean, does John Cena have a SAG card? Does he have coverage? So he's taking care of.
Have a SAG card? The guy who's been in a ton of movies.
He's been in a ton of movies, but they weren't necessarily like done with Screen Actors Guild auspices. Dude, around.
You only have to be in like a couple things to get like a SAG three. Card.
You picked a bad one. He's been in like quote unquote legit movies.
Okay.
Pick Mr. Kennedy or like. Dude. Yeah, I think I like those kind of the guys who've only done like Kane.
Never forget.
Yeah, they
no
all
evil.
Have SAG cards.
Mm-hmm.
And they really? Like that's why they're in.
And that means you get like coverage. You get like insurance coverage, and you get paid to a certain different kind of scale.
SAG and writers, the writers guild. Are good unions because they go on strike.
Right. Well, we should probably get somebody
where like a bunch of movies were just bad because like the writers guild just like were like, I'm not gonna write the last like. I'm not gonna like the conclusion.
Yeah. No. That's leverage. That's to get to back what we were talking about earlier. When it came to sort of electoral issues, we can definitely, I mean, that connects to labor issues in a very similar way. And what you were just mentioning, sort of like holding out on conclusions, things like, I remember one of the shows that happened during the writer strike was Lost.
Yeah.
And that show got like upended in the middle of that.
Oh yeah. That's like, isn't that the reason it's kind of like bad?
I don't know, but
like they kind of derailed it.
It would have probably been like Damon Lindelof's an idiot, so probably would have been bad anyway. But
well, I heard his other show, the one about people disappearing, mm-hmm. was pretty good.
I don't know that one.
Like the Rapture one or whatever.
Yeah, except I don't know.
I never saw it, but I ain't got time for that.
I saw a couple episodes, and it was like it seemed a little heavy-handed, but like I think there was some problems in the first season, and after that, people were just like, "Oh, this is a great show. Like maybe I'll go back and see it one day."
What is it called?
HBO's on Hulu for a while, so.
What's it called?
Oh, the Forgotten or something like
the
that.
The Forgotten? I don't know.
Blade Runner Final Cut's on Netflix right now, so watch that before it goes down.
Oh, I have it on
What's
DVD.
What's the greatest movie of all time?
I have it.
Do you have?
I have it on DVD.
You have Final Cut?
I have the director's cut, I think.
Well,
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. As long as you don't have theatrical. Theatrical, every time I see a copy of theatrical, I just want to like light it on fire.
I mean, I played the game, and that was my Blade Runner.
They're re-releasing that, I think.
Yeah, the PC game.
They put it back
by Westwood, the people who made Command & Conquer.
They're not redoing it. It's you can buy it right now on
really old games or whatever.
GOG. Yeah, really old games. Yeah, that's right. GOG.com.
No, but they're like doing an update. Like
it's my sponsorship.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Sponsor the show.
You can't do
Not
that.
Really,
community,
no.
Community
actually,
radio,
we,
you can't do that.
Actually, we'd have to. We if that were to happen, we'd have to turn that down.
Psych.
No. In all honesty, because GOG like is they're bad. Really bad about the crunch. Yeah, they overwork their guys. Like the people who worked on The Witcher are just like overworked to death. Well,
enemies of the podcast.
They are, and they're doing the same thing with Cyberpunk.
Wow, so, where is it?
Don't buy Cyberpunk.
Is it any? Is it ethical to get games from anywhere?
There is a 513 something Pixel Pushers Union.
We talked about this on the show in the past.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting for the game to come out. Tonight we riot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they actually are like a co-op.
Mm-hmm.
Union 512 Pixel Pushers Union. They're a co-op in Austin that makes video games.
Oh, well, check them out at Pixel Pushers 512.
Yeah, and not check those bad people though.
Yeah,
we'll never sponsor the show.
And check
we don't want your money.
Us out every Tuesday morning at GoodMorningComrade.com on WHIVFM.org, 102.3 if you're in the New Orleans area. or anywhere else in the world at whivfm.org/listen. You can also get more information about our show on our Twitter account. You can follow us at Comrade Morning. You can follow us on Facebook. You can also get all of everything at goodmorningcomrade.com. Tell the people bye, folks.
Hey, see you later.
GOG, get bent.
Yeah, we don't like y'all.
All right, everybody, let me bye.